Going to start off this morning before we jump into our teaching on morality and sexual immorality. I'm going to start off with a now word from the Lord, you might say, a fresh word from the Lord. And many of you probably saw in the newspaper that last week the champion, the national champion of the National Spelling Bee, was a young lady from Olathe, Kansas, who was a lady from who was originally from India, and she was the victor over several hundreds and what originally started as several thousands of people who were trying to get to the National Spelling Bee. And the word that she spelled that won the crown for her, that declared victory for her, was the word Laodicean. And I think that's an interesting thing, that of all the words in the English language, or of all the words in the dictionary, and I wasn't even aware that that word was in the dictionary before reading it, that she won with that word. And the word Laodicean comes from the third chapter of Revelation, verse 14. If you have your Bibles, we're going to start there this morning. The third chapter of Revelation, verse 14. And the word Laodicean is derived from the church in Laodicea, which is a city that was in Asia that Paul visited and helped probably start the church in Laodicea. And it's interesting that God, I believe this is a prophetic word, and that's why I'm calling it a fresh word from the Lord and a prophetic word, because I believe that God is speaking to America through this word and through this young lady who won this spelling bee. And when you listen to this word, well, you'll see why God is speaking it. In verse 14 of Revelation 3, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth." And so Jesus, who is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, spoke these words. He said, I would rather that you be cold, or I would rather that you be hot, but I will spit you out of my mouth because you are lukewarm. You are neither cold and you are not hot. And so the word Laodicean, according to the news press article that I wrote, the word Laodicean means lukewarm. And of course, the topography or the actual existence of cold streams in Laodicea and also hot springs, as the hot springs boil over and boil out and run out into the cold streams, then they mingle and they mix into a portion of the stream where the water is lukewarm. And of course, we know cold water, especially on a hot day, is very invigorating. We know hot water on a cold day is invigorating. You can make hot tea with hot water, and you can make a cold drink with cold water, but lukewarm water is just not of a whole lot of value for much of anything. I suppose, you know, livestock would drink it and do drink it, but for the most part, the uses for lukewarm water are very limited and of not much desirability. And so God is saying to the church here in America, and this is the word that God has spoken through this young lady who won the spelling bee, God is saying, church, wake up. Church, wake up. It's time for you to get hot or to be cold or to be useful in some way. But he says, because you're lukewarm, that you neither care about being hot or cold, God says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And I think God, as he looks at us here, down here on this earth, he wants so much for us to love him. He wants so much for us to serve him. He wants so much for us to be the church that he calls us to be, a bride without spot or wrinkle. And yet when he looks on us, and not just here in America, but all over the world, as he looks on us, he sees that we have fallen very short, that we have tolerated much sin in the camp. We've allowed sin in the camp. We've tolerated it. And so in order to build nice churches and build luxurious facilities and, you might say, tolerate the sin that we allow in the camp, why, we just have to turn our eyes and not look on it. And so we are encouraging and incurring the wrath of God here in America. And I just pray today, and as I do every day, that people here in America would turn from their wicked ways, that people here in America would cry out to the Lord and turn from their wicked ways, and that he would hear our prayer, which I know he does. God hears our prayer. He's a faithful and a loving God, and his wish and his desire that none should perish, his lovingness and his faithfulness go on forever and ever, and he never is impatient with us. He's never condemning of us, but his judgment is real. And I just pray that as we think about our position here as a lukewarm church, as a lukewarm people, where our hearts are not on fire for the Lord, that we would come to him, turn from our wicked ways, and God would then heal our land. And so that is a fresh word from the Lord, and I want you to pray about that and think about that as we proceed in the days ahead. Well, turn in your Bibles there. We're going to look at Colossians back there in the New Testament, Colossians 3. And this subject matter that we started last week is sexual purity, sexual immorality. And I just heard on the radio today, this very day, that as of June the 2nd, that our president has named June the Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Month. And I have a kind of a dubious joy or a dubious reaction to that. I'm thankful that those people are alive and God is working in their life, and I'm thankful that they have an opportunity to be who they are here in America. But I'm not thankful that they have chosen to live a life that is sinful, a life that is a behavior that God deems sinful. And so I'm not overly joyed by the fact that now we have a whole month dedicated in their honor, I guess you would say, or dedicated to the fact that these perversions and these lifestyles of sin and perversion are now being set aside on our calendar as something that we should honor and give our respect to. Well, Paul talks about this in Colossians, and Colossians, of course, was a letter written to the church at Colossae, and Paul lays it out here in verse 5. He says, "Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth." And verse 10, he says, "And having put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." And of course, the image of the one who created him is a picture of Jesus Christ and Jehovah God who created us. So back to verse 5, Paul says, "Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, and desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." And so God calls us, brothers and sisters, God calls us to be free of sexual immorality, calls us to be free of evil desires and evil passions, impurity, and to live a life of godliness, to live a life of holiness. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says to the 2 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, verse 18, he says, "Come out from the world and be ye separate." He says, "Come out from the world and be ye separate." He says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty." And so in order to be a son to God, in order for God to be able to call us his father, God says, "Come out of the world and be ye separate." And so we need to look at our lives in terms of, are we walking with the world? Are we walking a life of purity and holiness and righteousness, or are we just walking with the world? And there are so many things that the world has given credence to and given acknowledgement to, such as same-sex marriage and same-sex unions, and now bisexual. There's a call in many states by the homosexual agenda for bisexual marriage, and the camel has got his nose under the tent, and states are caving in to what used to be considered in America just out-and-out perversion and out-and-out abomination, and now we are caving in all different directions, to this agenda. And of course, this does not please the heart of God. Now, if you know family members that are trapped in any of these behaviors, if you have family members that are practicing in any of these behaviors, Jesus said there is no condemnation. Paul said there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. God does not condemn. What God calls us to do is to turn away from our wicked ways and to come to Him, to turn away from our wicked ways and to say, Lord, You are the answer to my sin and my bondage. Jesus said in Isaiah 61 that I came to set the captives free. I came to declare release to the prisoners. I came to break the yokes of the wickedness. And so Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the only answer for sinful behavior and for sinful addictions and addictions of sexual immorality, whether it's pornography or adultery or lust or whatever it is. Jesus is the answer. Jesus can set you free, brothers and sisters. Jesus can set us free from the sin of destruction, from the sin of bondage, and or from the bondage of sin and death. He can set us free like nothing else can. Freedom to have free license to behave in any manner that we want to isn't freedom. That doesn't give us freedom. What gives us freedom is the freedom from sin that Jesus Christ offered by His blood on the cross. And so Paul says here in Colossians 3:10, and having put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the One who created him. And so we have the opportunity to go from that old self to a new self. We have an opportunity to leave that old self behind, that self that is trapped in sin, that self that is trapped in sexual immorality, that self that is trapped in grievous behavior and sinful behavior that hurts the heart of God and also is a sin against our own bodies. And so when we receive that grace, that opportunity to change, we need to take advantage of it, because we don't know that God's grace is going to cover us if we choose to sin. If we willingly choose to sin, we don't know that God's grace is going to cover us. And so we need to be ever mindful that God says, go and sin no more. When He saves us out of a sinful behavior, when He pulls us up out of the miry clay, He says, go and sin no more, because God's desire is that we live a life of righteousness and live a life of holiness and live a life that keeps His commandments. Well, I'm going to turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to take up a similar theme here with Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. And in verse 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Well, what does sanctification mean? It's a big word. We don't use it very often in our secular language. But sanctification just means to be set aside, to be set aside, to be purified and to set aside. When you are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been set aside no longer to act as the world acts, no longer to conform to the way the world desires you to conform, no longer to have free license to do whatever you please, but you have been sanctified to do the will of God. You have been sanctified and set aside to keep His commandments. It grieves the heart of God when we break His commandments. There's something on this earth that men do that grieves the heart of God, and that's called sin. And God says, come out from the world and be you separate. God says, flee sexual immorality. And so when we have sexual immorality in our life, whether it's pornography or lust or adultery or homosexual relationships or any of these things that grieve the heart of God, God says, come out from them, come out from them and flee these things. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Brothers and sisters, if you call yourself a Christian, are you living up to that name? Are you living up to the name so that when people see you, they will know that there's something different about you? They will know by your behavior, they will know by your lifestyle that there is something different about you. Or do you just look like another person in the world? Do you just act like, talk like, watch the same movies, have the same kind of filthy talk, read the same kind of filthy books, look at the same kind of filthy images on the internet. If that's what you're doing and you call yourself a Christian, you are not a Christian. You are a liar. John says in 1 John that we must keep his commandments. If we don't keep his commandments, we are a liar, he says. And so God wants us to keep his commandments. He sanctifies us to keep his commandments. He sanctifies us to set us aside so that we are able to keep his commandments. And he gives us the strength. He gives us the strength to be able to obey him and keep his commandments. Verse 4 in 1 John 1, chapter 2, verse 4, the one who says, I have come to know him, talking about Jesus, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. And so John says that those that keep his commandments know the truth, and they are not liars, but those who do not keep his commandments do not know the love of God, and they are liars. Verse 5 in 1 John chapter 2, whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him, that is in Jesus, ought himself to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. And so Jesus is our example. We look at his life. We can know about his life by studying his word, by studying God's word. We can know about his life by looking at the testimony even of other religions that testified that Jesus lived a perfect life. And so Jesus is our example. We look to him. And so in order to have the strength to walk the way Jesus wants us to walk, we have to commit our lives to him. He gives us the strength to deny sexual immorality. He gives us the strength to deny temptation. And because of his power and his strength that he gives us, we are able to live a life that brings honor and glory to him. Well, back to 1 Thessalonians 4 again, verse 4, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel, that is his own body, in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. And so Paul is saying that when you give in to your lustful passions, when you give in to sexual immorality, and that when you transgress and defraud your brother in matters of immorality, the Lord is the avenger. In other words, you may think you're getting by with it for a while. You may think nobody sees. You may be sneaking around in the darkness and have liaisons of dubious merit. And God is the avenger, because nothing is hidden from God. God's eyes rove to and fro across the earth, and he sees all things. And so when you are engaged in immorality, or maybe you're just sitting in your house watching the computer and watching pornographic images on your computer, you're lying and cheating against your wife is what you're doing, or lying and cheating against your children. And God says, I am the avenger of all things, and God will eventually bring to light what is done in the darkness, and God will eventually settle the score. Verse 7, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. There's that word again. He says, God has not called us to be impure, but to be sanctified. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. And so when you do not keep God's commandments, when you engage in sexual immorality and transgress your neighbor or transgress your wife through pornography or adultery or any such sinful behavior, God is the avenger, and God will bring it to light, and he will in some way embarrass or bring you to your knees, or in some way he may even take you out and reduce you either totally or partially to destruction of your flesh. And so it's a harsh word this morning, but it's God's desire that we be holy. Because he is holy, we are holy. Because God has sent his son Jesus to die for us, Jesus shed his blood for us, that we would be set aside as Christians to do his will and to be sanctified here on this earth. And by the blood that he shed, we are healed. By the blood that he shed, we are set free from sinful behavior. By the blood that he shed, we are able to move forward into our destiny and into the kingdom of God. And we are able to move forward in a way that we can't even think about doing without his strength and without his power. Well, I hope this message is not too rough on you this morning. It's something that we need here in America, because there's people that are wondering what is the issue with gay marriage, and what is the issue with divorce, and what is the issue with sexual immorality. And so to understand God's heart and God's will for our life, we need to understand that God calls us to be righteous and to be holy. Matthew 6:33, I'm going to close with this scripture this morning. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So when you seek God, his kingdom and his righteousness, all the things that you desire for your life, he will add unto you. And that's God's wish for you, is that you be blessed, that you keep his commandments, that you walk in that sanctified state that he has created for you, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, thank you for listening today. We'll continue on this teaching next week. Thank you for listening. God bless you. We'll see you next week.